firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord.
On what event does all of history swing? Welcome to Through the Bible. Our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, will prove to you today that that event is, well, do you know? Well, when Jesus rose from the dead, that's right, after Jesus took on the sins of the world, paying the price for us before a holy God, he didn't stay dead. And why is that so important? Well, we'll find out today. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to join us for a pivotal study in our journey through the whole Word of God. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians today, chapter 15, what Dr. McGee called one of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible. Now, as you turn there, let's welcome Through the Bible's President Greg Harris to the studio. Greg, I'm so glad that you're here today because I want to do something special with our brief time today.
Okay, I'm in for that. What do you want to do?
Well, let's celebrate what the resurrection made possible, what we're going to learn about in our study today, by reading letters from people who turned to Jesus for salvation while on the Bible bus. Those are great letters to read.
That sounds great.
Now, the first note is from a friend of a staff member here at Through the Bible who wrote her from San Antonio after the horrible shooting in the church near there last November. Hopefully you all remember that. Marie wrote, "My sister and brother-in-law attended Sutherland Baptist, but they were not at church that day. But now they have the opportunity to stand for Jesus in front of the whole town, really the whole state, and of course, to comfort all the survivors. They've listened on KDRY to Through the Bible, as we have too for years, decades really, and what we find comforting is the day-in, day-out teaching that glorifies Jesus Christ. Jesus knows all about hard times like these. And when they come, and you don't think you'll ever recover, you look to his resurrection as your only hope. Death is not the end. It's because of Jesus' resurrection that we can get through this, that we're guaranteed a happy ending. Dr. McGee had a warm spot in his heart for Texas, so we would ask our friends at Through the Bible to pray for South Texas as we heal. Pray that we'll be bold to share the good news of Jesus Christ to a confused and shocked and brokenhearted community. And you can be sure that we'll point people to Through the Bible."
Boy, Steve, there's just so much wonderful about that letter. It's such a horrible tragedy, and yet the Christian viewpoint can always find hope even in the darkest times. And that's really what resurrection is all about.
Yeah.
Here's another letter from San Antonio. "I love you all," Mrs. Corral writes. "Ever since I came from Mexico, I lived in San Antonio for a couple of years as a maid. I found on a radio some Spanish stations playing music. For a while, that was good, but my soul needed some food." I think I know where this letter's going.
Yep.
"It was then I was reunited with Through the Bible on KBIB from Marion, Texas. The reception was not too clear, but I would move my radio to some spot that could make it clear. Years ago, I welcomed Jesus into my heart through Dr. McGee's teaching. The Lord has been so good to me. It has not been easy learning the language, but it has certainly not been impossible. Through God, all things are possible. Now that I'm able to listen to Dr. McGee, his voice is unmistakable. Thank God he has helped me to discern a false teacher from a real one. Thank you all for your dedication to the great commandment. I will support with my prayers and my gifts as I am able. May God grant that we have love and faith as we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords."
Wow, what an encouraging letter.
Tremendous.
Now here's leaving Texas. Let's travel all the way over to India for our next letter. This is from a friend on the Hindi Bible bus. "There was a time when I did not believe in God. I lived life the way I pleased, not caring what anyone said. My parents and relatives worshipped idols, and I was happy leading an immoral lifestyle with bad company. I lived to drink alcohol. Naturally, there was no peace or joy in my life. One day, I happened to listen to Satya Vachan," that's Through the Bible in Hindi, by the way, "on the radio. When I continued to listen regularly, I understood something about the Word of God and salvation. Eager to change my life, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and now I am assured of eternal life. Sadly, there is no church and no believers in my area, but because of Satya Vachan, I am not alone. I listen to the Word of God and have fellowship with Jesus. My family, my relatives, and the community are against me because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes I get discouraged, but when I listen to how Jesus died, was buried, and rose again from death, I have joy and peace in my heart. He paid for my sin, and God marked my debt paid." I love that line. "If Jesus lives, so now I can too. Well, if you'd like to join the World Prayer Team and pray for San Antonio, for India, and for all around the world, go to ttb.org/pray and join today. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we continue our study in 1 Corinthians 15.
Father, thank you for the resurrection power that has changed the world. May it change our hearts as well as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we want to look again here at 1 Corinthians 15. We said this is one of the most important chapters of the Bible, and we're proving it because this is the third study we've had in this single chapter. And I'm not about to run away from it, but I think we'll finish it today, and we expect to finish 1 Corinthians next time. And then we'll be moving back into the Old Testament, and we'll be taking Ezra. Now, as we come here to 1 Corinthians 15, I drop back for just a moment to verse 35 and begin there by just looking very cursorily at several things that are said. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And as we said before, two questions are here, the how and the what. And we need to back up and look at this a moment. Men fail to distinguish the difference between the resurrection of the body and the immortality of the soul. Plato and Cicero, they argue for the immortality of the soul. Now, Paul is arguing for the resurrection of the body. The Sadducees, they denied any life after death. And Christ answered them. He says, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living and not of the dead. And Paul answered those who denied the resurrection of the body. He answered it, as we've seen, in the resurrection of Christ, his body was raised up. Now, how can a body that dies and a body that's raised up be the same? Well, Paul says nature demonstrates that they are not identical. They are the same, but not identical. The dead are raised up with what body? Well, the bodies change elements every 8 years. Our bodies, we're told, change the elements. And the answer to the first question, the how here, that just as a grain of wheat falls into the ground, it comes up. Now, in verse 36, Paul is very severe. He says, if you only had sense enough to see it, you'd see that these seed, there's a dissolution, but there's a continuity. It's not impossible. It's a mystery. And then he comes to this, what is death? Well, death is not of the spirit or the personality. The real you goes on to be with the Lord if you're a child of God. But the body disintegrates. Death means a separation of the body from the person, from the individual. The body disintegrates, decays, destroyed. Dust to dust and ashes to ashes. That's the body. Now, Paul's going to answer the second question. What body is raised up? And that which thou sowest? Thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat, of some other. And the illustration is of grain. Christ is the first fruits. We're coming along later. We're waiting for the rapture of the church when he takes the church out of the world. If we're dead at that time, we'll be raised up. And then if we are living, we'll be caught up and changed. And the seed, you see, does not provide a new body, and neither does the sower. God provides it. That's what Paul is saying here. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And then he moves into another area. All of this is the mystery of life. Actually, the mystery of life is greater than the mystery of death. You sow wheat, what comes up? Well, it's not barley. It's wheat that comes up. And that little grain, just like the one you sow. Not identical, but certainly similar. Now he moves on here and he says all flesh is not the same flesh. One kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, fishes, and birds. Now the difference between a dead body and a resurrection body is greater than the difference between man and beasts, fish, and birds. You see, he was in the area of botany. Now he's in the area of biology and zoology. Then he moves out of that into another area. Verse 40, there are celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now, the celestial, I think, is the church. The terrestrial is Israel and the Gentiles. And now we're in a realm of astronomy. And then he says here that there's a glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star even differeth from another star in glory. Sun's not the same material as the moon, neither same as the stars. The stars differ from each other. There's a solar system, a stellar system, there are planets and suns. Then he goes on. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Now, he goes on to make it very clear here that Adam would not have died, but he'd always been subject to death, you see. But now we get a body that's incorruptible. And in verse 43, it's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory, it's sown in weakness, raised in power. And the glory and the color and the beauty and the power and the mind, all of these things with the new body. Now he says, it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Many years ago, way back in the days of old modernism and fundamentalism, modernism never was modern, and it sure isn't today. But a paper was read by a leading liberal in the East at this meeting of the theologians, both at that time modern and fundamental. And one man who read it, he was applauded because he took this verse and he put the emphasis on spiritual. He said it's a natural body, but it's going to be raised spiritual. And he says you can see that resurrection is spiritual. And after he finished, all the liberals applauded him, thought the paper ought to be published. And then a very outstanding Greek scholar who was there stood up. He was a very conservative man. He said, I want to ask this man a question. And they were all a little lyric because they knew this man knew how to ask questions as well as answer them. And he said, I'd like to ask the man who read the paper, I'd like to ask him which is stronger, a noun or an adjective. Well, there was a silence for a moment. This man answered, well, he said, a noun, of course. All right, he said, I'm surprised then that you read the paper that you did. You put the emphasis upon the adjective, not the noun. The noun is body. The adjective is natural and spiritual. Now he says it's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And it's the body that is carried over in resurrection. It's just a different kind of a body. That's the important thing Paul is saying, but the resurrection is spiritual. May I say that they never did publish that man's paper. Verse 45 says, so it's written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. You see, the first man Adam, he was psychical. And psuchein is the Greek, zosa. That means he was physical and psychological. The last man is spiritual, pneuma, pneumatical, if we want the English equivalent. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. And he goes on, the first man is of the earth. He's earthy, koikos, clay, rubbish, if you please. Talk about the ecology. Who messed up this earth anyway? Man. Because actually, man's earthy. He's rubbish. And what do you expect him to make? Everything that's a refuse of man is rubbish. He can haul in the groceries on Saturday. But I tell you, he'll fill up the garbage can before the week is out. Because man is that kind of a creature, by the way. But the second man, he's the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Well, we're earthy. That's the condition of all of us. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. But also, if we're in Christ, we're joined to Him, and therefore, this is our hope, is resurrection, an eternal body, an eternity with Christ. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, which we bear today, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, we're looking forward to this. Now listen to him. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These old bodies we got are not going to heaven. I'm glad of that. I'd like to trade mine in. They cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, he's not saying hocus pocus over these old bodies. nor is he sending them to a repair shop. It's the picture of sowing seed. It's put in the ground a seed that dies. It comes up, not the identical, but that which is similar, and it'll be a new tabernacle for us to live in. Now, that is the reason so many atheists out here on the West Coast, when they die, they have their ashes scattered out here on the Pacific Ocean. In other words, it's a challenge to God to try to get all those atoms back together again. How in the world is God going to get that few, you know, atoms of phosphorus, and he gets a little iron here? You know, there's not really enough phosphorus in us to make the heads on but about two matches. And we talk about somebody being fiery. Couldn't even light a match. And then we talk about, my, he's a strong iron man. Well, there's about enough iron in us to make a penny nail. That's all here is in us. And these bodies, what difference does it make? Now, if he wants to use some other atoms, after all, a hydrogen atom, they're all very much alike. It wouldn't make any difference to me if he used some others to make the new body. I think that's one of the biggest pieces of nonsense. And yet it's been the biggest argument that's been used. How in the world will God get all these atoms together? Well, my friend, he just has plenty of atoms on his hands. And if he made the body to begin with, he can make the other one. And it will come up, these old bodies, coming up out of the grave, but supposed to have been scattered out there on the ocean. They're going to come up out of the ocean, my friend. And he'll be able to bring them together. After all, he's God, isn't he? Now, will you notice verse 50? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These old bodies are not going to heaven. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now he says, listen to this, behold, I show you a mystery. What's a mystery? We've already seen that. He's mentioned it several times. That which was not revealed in the Old Testament, but is now revealed in the New Testament, that which you cannot learn by the eye gate, ear gate, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man. This is not something man would have thought of. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going down through the doorway of death. But we shall all be changed. Now, whether you die or not, you're going to have to be changed, friends. So many people say, oh, if I'm only alive at the coming of Christ, just to go to be in his presence, you're sure going to have to be changed, brother and sister. And I'm going to have to be changed if he should come right now. We'd have to be changed in a moment. And a moment is the smallest part of time. The word is atomao. In fact, we get our word atom from that. And scientists made a big mistake calling that little fellow the atom because, you see, they thought they'd found the smallest particle of matter. And now today they can cut the little atom up like a railroad restaurant pie, and it's not an atom at all. It's something else. I think the Greek word stoikos, which means building block, would be the best. And Simon Peter uses that in his second epistle, the third chapter, and he wasn't even a scientist. He was a fisherman. But the Spirit of God knew a little about science. Now, we shall not all sleep. We'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I understand that psychologists have measured the twinkle of an eye. But I ask one of them, well, what is the twinkle of an eye? Is it when it goes down or when it comes up, the lid? Or is it both of them? And I think they've got it broken down to, well, you just break up a second. And a moment, you see, is atomao. Tomao means to cut. Atoma means it's something you can't cut. But they've cut up the atom, you see, so that in a moment, in a period of time, you couldn't say, here he comes and here he is. He's here. In a moment, in a twinkling of the eye at the last trump. What is that last trump? That's his last call. The trumpet is his voice. John says, I heard a voice like the sound of a trumpet. And I turned to see whose voice was it? The Lord Jesus. This is his last call to mankind. Come on up, he says, for the trumpet shall sound. He'll give his last call. He'll call the dead back. As he said, Lazarus, come forth. He'll say, Vernon, come forth. And he'll call you by name. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. This is a tremendous must. You can't go to heaven as you are now. You can't go to heaven with the old body you got. You couldn't see what's really up there, and you couldn't hear the music. They tell us today that we don't see everything that's on the sight board, and we don't hear everything that's on the sound board. We get very little today. These bodies are quite limited. We are really deaf and dumb as far as heaven is concerned. Even if we went up there like we are, we'd never be able to enjoy the play. We wouldn't know very much about it. We'd miss half that's going to take place. And friends, when I go there, I don't want to miss a thing. And therefore, I'm going to need a new body. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. This is the victory of the resurrection, friends. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, I feel about physical death like this. I heard a Bible teacher years ago say that he's taken the sting out of death. And he says it's like a bee that has a stinger removed. Well, my feeling is this, that I can't tell when a bee has its stinger removed. I just can't stop every bee and say, look, you got your stinger, you lost it. And therefore, I'm afraid of every bee, with stinger or without stinger. And death has lost its sting, I grant you. Today we're to look way out beyond it. It's a doorway that's opened up the vast regions of eternity and starts us down the hallway, not of time, but of eternity. But I don't like going through that door. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Now, the grave's not going to get a victory at all. Well, I tell you today, that is the thing that happens to man. Many a man today has been a success as a businessman, but he was really a failure because death got him. May I say, many a politician got elected to high office, and then he died in high office. We've had several presidents that died in the presidency. They got up there, but oh, death, you know, got a victory, walked in on them. Death is an awful monster, is it not? But now Christ has been down through that way, just as that ark went down into the Jordan River and over to the other side. Christ has gone down through the waters of death for me, and he tells me, I'm your shepherd, remember, I not only lead you through this life, I'll lead you through the deep waters of death, and I'll bring you into eternity. So I'm afraid. I'm a little child. I'm afraid. But I'll put my hand in a hand that's nail-pierced, and he'll lead me to the other side. O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. It's sin that has the real stinger. And the strength of sin is the law. Law is a mirror that shows us we're sinners. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. How? Because we are smart and clever, and we are overcomers? No, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are told that they overcame him in Revelation. How? By the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way any of us will ever overcome. Now, on the basis of that, he says now, therefore. Therefore, I think, goes all the way back to the very first chapter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, that takes me all the way back to verse 9 of chapter 1. God is faithful. Oh, he's faithful. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I've been called into the fellowship of his Son. And Paul has already told me in this epistle, he says that all things are mine. And he said that Paul belongs to me, and we've been studying all about him. He's ours, friends, and Apollos and Cephas. The world today, oh, I want to enjoy life and death. Oh, death is ours. But we have one that got the victory over death. And isn't this wonderful? Things present, that's things of time. Things to come out yonder in the future, all things are yours. Why, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. May I say to you, he's up yonder in glory today, the living Christ. I hope you have Christ. He's yours, and he's mine, and the world, and eternity. My Father's a king, my friend. He's a king.
What a wonderful study. You know, it's an amazing blessing to have this same hope in Jesus, the one who died for us and whom God raised from death to life to assure us that Jesus' sacrifice was accepted. Talk about joy. You know, if our study today has woken you up to the reality that you don't know Jesus is your Savior, then please go to our website at ttb.org and read or download the booklets there that can explain what Jesus' resurrection makes possible for you. Click on the banner, How Can I Know God? You can also give us a call, and we'll put a few of these resources in the mail to you. Just call 1-800-65-BIBLE, or you can email us at biblebus@ttb.org. Now, as Dr. McGee said, tomorrow will be our final study in 1 Corinthians, and then the Bible bus will return to the Old Testament, to the book of Ezra. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here, Lord willing, and I'll be saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it all, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.